Welcome to Kaput Radio. I'm Martin. There is a lot of busy preparations for the Hempfest, the Nimbin Mardi Gras 2013 around town and present, so therefore this week I dug up some old political comedy, Australian one that is, from 1986. Welcome to the Gillies Republic, a worthy Australian effort of political satire, I must admit.
That's a pity. Still, that's what the Liberal Party stands for, cutting back, cutting and pruning. There are a lot of people out there, aren't there? Angry people?
Angry enough.
Oh, well, it's no worry. I was angry this week.
Good.
Did you see what I did to Paul Keating? Oh, I was a terrier.
Good.
Who else is going to be speaking?
Oh, Catherine West, John Elliott. Hugh Morgan.
Oh, isn't it good to see the Protestant churches coming back to us?
Barry Humphreys. Prue Acton.
She's new. Still, Robert Menzies had this effect on women. Where am I on?
Who are you? Oh, John Laws? Ozzy Ostrich? Maybe you're part of Rent-A-Crowd.
Oh, the little people, you mean? Oh, yeah, they're the quintessence of our party, the people who will not be stifled and crushed.
So what are you going to say?
Well, I just told you. I'd give them a positive message. What do you think I should say about the government?
Why don't you say they're fascist?
Oh, that's a good idea. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm John Howard. And let me say this. I don't have to explain who I am. And I make no apology for that, none whatsoever. Look, I've been quite consistent on this. I will resist all those cynical policies which the government has stolen from us. For no higher purpose than its own survival. The policies of the Liberal Party are sacred. They were set down many years ago now in a copy of the Reader's Digest. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but it won't move a consignment of singlets. But I've been quite consistent on this, but there are some things that I just won't say. As the Speaker of the House learned to her undying cost only the other day. Things like sorry. No, I'm sorry, but I won't. Cathy. I'm just setting the agenda, like it's always said I should.
My subject today and every other day is small business and the family.
Hey, hang on. I'm running this
Please,
party.
Don't interrupt. It upsets my cash flow. As I pointed out in my article in the Weekend Australian, quoting a speech I made to a CWA meeting in Warwickshire, which recycled a lecture I gave on Talkback Radio last month, small business is the backbone of the nation and the only true way forward from the past to which we're returning. That, and of course, the family. I know a great deal about the family, having been through four or perhaps five of my own. So I should point out to you, as I do indefatigably, for moderately extortionate lecturing fees at every opportunity, 2 points. Now, being an academic, I should put the second first and the first second. As small family businessmen, you're obviously committed to the flat rate, or as we academics put it, the flat earth tax. But have you considered a no tax at all? Easy to understand, simple to administer, especially if there are no wages. Thank you. Just profits, which can be flowed back into the business to make it even smaller. Then you could convert your profits into losses and get huge concessions on the tax you hadn't paid in the first place. I must write it down for my next article. Oh, what are you talking about?
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say.
Could you be silent for a moment? Now, let us listen to the voice of the mining industry.
As I have pointed out in the past, to recognise Aboriginal customs is not only contrary to the expressed will of God, but would lead to the reintroduction of cannibalism. Just as recognizing the Jews has led to the reintroduction of the sacrifice of firstborn children, and recognizing the Roman Catholics has led to the reintroduction of the Spanish Inquisition. To me, mining is not so much an industry as a sacred calling. If God had not meant us to dig up the minerals, he wouldn't have put them underground in the first place. We ignore the mining commandment at our peril. When Burke and Wills returned to Cooper's Creek, they found the word dig mystically inscribed upon a tree. They didn't. And look what happened to them.
Oh, he's quite a brilliant chap, you know.
There are two vocations for which I have the highest respect, the businessman and the intellectual. In fact, if I hadn't been a businessman, I might have been an intellectual.
I am Bert Tucky. Oh, I'm Bert. It's good to see you. Where have you been?
Over Carnarvon with the family, John. Big do at the weekend. Char grilled a couple of quarter horses that were no good. Then we tied a boom to the back of a Ford and dragged him round a paddock.
Hey, I'm Bart.
No, haven't you on, John. Just my rough way of talking. Hey, John, congratulations on getting chucked out of the house the other day. Bloody brilliant.
Oh, well, there's only so much I can take, you know. I'm no wimp. I'm the go-getter.
That's the spirit, John. Get some bloody spine to this bloody party. So what do you do when you see a head?
I kick it.
No, John, you bash the living Christ out of it. Like that. Now go for it. Piss, wait, come on, that's Kitty's head now. You really do it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's it. Now, hit me.
I couldn't do that. I am bad. You're a friend.
Bullshit, no friends in politics, John. Come on, hit me.
All right.
Ooh, that's all right, John. If you want to be Prime Minister, you've got to like hurting people.
Oh.
Hey, come on, hit me, come on. You little puss, come on, you peanut. That's it, kill me, John. Go for it.
Beautiful, John. Pick your target and go for it. Walk tall, Johnny, because remember, you're the boss now.
Out of the horizon came a giant all dressed in black. And no one was particularly gratified to see him back. He used to be the sheriff and he left a lot of dead behind.
I shot that outlaw Whitlam and Billy the Kid, McMahon.
Big pal, big pal, when trouble falls, he'll follow. He'll sort things out as only big pal can. Cause he's a holler, crying, stone-talking, letter-writing eminent.
When Hawkeye, the townsfolk, drove him out, he broke right down and cried. He felt a strange new feeling called emotion deep inside. He still dispenses justice in the good old-fashioned Western way.
I'm the toughest troubleshooter from Cape Town to the USA.
Big man.
Friend, we're all about keeping ahead of the opposition.
We are the opposition.
Yes, that's right.
What the Liberal Party needs is a good pest exterminator.
And as part of our franchise deal with the U.S. Republican Party, we're proud to be the first to present their latest training film.
Oh, terrific! Pheasant Dragon's one of my heroes!
When the institution of the presidency had fallen into the hands of a cartoon character, the world began to experience a deep, uneasy feeling that it was the victim of the most bizarre hijacking in history. A hijack into the Twilight Zone.
Get Clack! Clack! Have you been hit? What? Get up! Get up! I'll make a man of you yet, General!
Yeah, Mr. President, when I said I'd fought in Vietnam, what I really meant was I was in Switzerland teaching cuckoos to tell the time.
That's what I like about you, General. You got gumption. Hey! Don't let the light!
It's the neighbors. They want you to try and keep the noise down.
They know there's a war going on in here.
They say they're trying to watch Miami Vice.
Whatever happened to I Love Lucy? Turn the light off!
Mr. President, I believe we've taken Iwo Jima.
Good boy. Forward to Moscow. Here, they've given us live ammunition. No No, buddy. Buddy, I know how you feel. It kind of takes the fun out of everything, doesn't it? Where's my speechwriter?
She's gone to see what Teller's up to.
Oh?
Okay, Doc, is Star Wars ready yet?
Give me 5 more minutes.
Well, what's this?
Don't touch that.
Well, what is it?
That's my lunch.
Come on, Doc, the president's getting impatient. What have you been doing all of this time?
I've got the model ready.
Well, give us a look.
You know, when we go into mass production, I think we're going to have to glue these transparencies on. This water-based stuff is no good at all.
Australia? Where the hell's that?
What do you mean they want to renegotiate Pine Gap? We'll nuke them.
June, don't you think that's going a bit too far?
Damn right it is. Who put Hawking to power in the first place? We did, that's who. Oh, barbecue the bastard.
But, June, you're just a speechwriter.
Speechwriting be buggered. I'm writing history. Give us a beam on Canberra.
What'd you have to go and mention bloody Pine Gap for, Paul?
It wasn't my fault, it was the
you
others.
You can't threaten the Yanks.
Dead right.
It's just lucky for us that Roddy and me are like that.
We'll laminate. Well, we really
you can't are. Laminate them, June. They're an ally.
Okay, mustard gas. If that doesn't work, biological warfare. I'll go and kick Weinberger's ass about it.
Hey, is that the television? I wondered where the damn thing had got to. This must be Dallas.
We better send someone over there again. Bill. Yeah, send Bill. Tell him to be really diplomatic, and if he upsets him, not to bother coming back.
It'd be Dallas. Look at that acting. How's anyone supposed to believe that? The boring show. What's on the other channel?
Mr. President, no, not that button!
Just one more trap. But we can get another ally, can't we?
Not like that one. They actually thought they were getting something out of it.
Are you hearing me?
That's what you said when you invented the hedge bomb.
I mean it. You mean Star Wars!
Victory in our time!
Victory in our time. An exclamation of hope or a cry of despair. There may be very little difference in the corridors of the Twilight Code.
I have a blue-ringed octopus sealed up in a preserves jar at home. And sometimes late at night when I'm alone with my thoughts, I take it out of the cupboard and I swirl it around a little bit in front of the lab.
Hey, John, you know, Paul Keating's a great name caller, and if he wants to call me a slimy slug with the brains of a retarded pig, ha! Doesn't bother me, because I got the dirt on that mongrel. Watch this videotape, John, and see Paul with his heart on his sleeve. And you keep it there, Paul, where we can do some damage to it.
Have you anything to confess, my son?
Well, I don't, Father, but a lot of the scumbags around me do.
What do they have to confess, my son?
Oh, gluttony, envy, greed, overweening pride, the works. I mean, they're the Labour Party cabinet. I don't suffer from any of that myself.
Well, do you have anything to confess?
Oh, Christ, no. I keep my cards pretty close to my chest, don't you?
When was your last confession, my son?
September the 14th, 1957. I did all my lawn mowing money at Tua, and that leaked out. Stupid to talk to anyone.
Why, then, are you here?
No one else will talk to me.
Why is that, my son?
Oh, they think I'm out to ruin them. Unionists, pensioners, lunch-mad capitalists, camp waiters, golf club importers, you name it, they're all down on old Paul. Go and stand in a corner, Paul, they say. Nya, 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 ski to float of the dollar, ski to float of the dollar.
Why did you float the dollar, my son? It's always puzzled me.
Well, I had an ordinary Labour Party upbringing, you know. I had Scrofula and Jack Lang laid his hands on me and cured me when I was a kid. And Rex Connor told me where to borrow money from. And I believed all that. The redistribution of wealth, pushing beached whales back into the sea. And then one day my car broke down on the way to Bankstown and I started to walk. And there was this great light in the sky and I looked up and it was this great shining Sir Roderick Carnegie up there in the sky, and he said, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Get with the strength, grub. And he was gone, and I thought, Jesus, I thought, that's the good oil. And so I let in the foreign banks, and I floated the dollar, I bought a lot of Regency clocks, I got myself a decent bag of fruit, and now no one will talk to me except you. And I want you to tell me what to do with my life, Father, because I'm in a mess, Father. I want you to tell me what to do.
Funny you should ask me that, my son.
Gillies Republic, go ahead, caller. Yes, we have a Mr. Howard. Yes, the same Mr. Howard used to sell goldfish and budgery cars at Lock and Kirby's. Yes, he's still doing much the same, but now he's a trainee manager. Yes, bye-bye.
When Prime Minister Hawke
viciously sneered me last night by saying I was the Ronnie Corbett-style compere of the new dark age. He showed how desperate he's getting. I don't mind being compared with Ronnie Corbett. I'm a big fan of Ronnie Corbett. Well, a medium-sized fan. I'm 5'10½", which is bigger than the Prime Minister, because Ronnie, like me, overcame the limitations of looking like a little turd and failing general maths, and he made it in the big metropolis. Although, admittedly, I started out with a much more beautiful voice and a much more various and colourful set of teeth, because the Liberal Party's about overcoming and conquering and smashing and pulverising and stomping on the face of the whole nitpicking system. All those quangos and taxmen and arbitrators and petty bureaucrats who say you've got to have a licence if you want to fly a jumbo jet and crash it if need be into an outer suburb. Limitations like that. Decent, hard-working businessmen, for instance, no longer have the option of instituting slavery as a temporary economic measure. Now, no rational person would any longer deny that slavery is our only option in the present circumstances. If they introduce slavery in, say, Taiwan, and they more or less have, we introduce slavery here. That's what competition means. And nobody should be afraid of the term slavery either. It only means the employer's right to pay as little as he deems fit and sack anyone at a moment's notice in order to serve the greater good, which is the maintenance of the employer's own standard of living. There's an inspiration for those future generations of freed slaves on the make like me who come after him. And as a return for the enormous sacrifices that every businessman makes, being constantly overseas in Sheratons and Hiltons, enduring foreign food and lackadaisical call girls and the obscure jokes of his Japanese partners, all for the sake of maintaining Australia's competitiveness overseas. Slavery is the only way to improve our image. And the Liberal Party's here to see that you vote for it. This time, anyway. Next time, under our new guidelines, a vote may not even be necessary.
What Australians lack is entrepreneurial skills, entrepreneurial instincts. We lack the sort of blokes who look at something that belongs to somebody else and say, oh, I'll have that, and just bloody well take it. Bloody schools that are letting us down.
You don't spend 30 years rising steadily through the ranks to the highest office the public has to offer and getting as a result one signature appended to the dollar without learning just how incompetent the whole place is.
You've got to dream. Every great entrepreneur has a dream. And let me tell you, it goes beyond getting rich. It does, it bloody does. It's about culture. It's about what sort of society we want. It goes deep, I tell you. Deep into the inner depths of a man's soul, I suppose.
Yeah!
You know, she tried that sort of thing on me at the Lusaka conference. But, you know, it was she who ended up crying.
Oh, Ruth!
Hi, John.
Ruth, how are you?
Isn't it exciting to be part of the latest trend, to be the special people? Can't you feel it? I can. I'm a success story, a terrifically vital and enterprising person who believes in excellence and peace rates. And you know, the most exciting thing about fashion today is that people are using clothes to say what they think. Some people are even using clothes instead of thinking. Isn't that great? So I've come up with a whole new range that's right for the people who are right. And here it is. The new young people look. It's airy, bluey, blondy, bold, assertive, tough, ferocious.
Rambo.
Rambo-esque. Rainbow Warrior.
The Beagle Boys.
Spartacus and Richard the Third.
Speaking as an eminent person, I would say that was pathetic.
Oh, look, I'm sick and tired of him tripping around here like some superannuated hat stand.
Well, look, you know, it's good to see my old doorstop making wisecracks. We used to use him as a cork most of the time.
Oh, well, it may suit one of yesterday's men to make jokes about my size, but look at the size of his achievements.
Shut up.
He never would do what he said he'd do.
Nor did you.
I did, so?
No, you didn't. Hawk did.
Well, I would have if he hadn't, and I still will.
Pipsqueak.
Fact is, you know, I've never been so happy as I've been since you passed into international obscurity.
The sun on the meadow is summery warm. The stag in the forest runs free. The heart is a shelter, the fly is the storm. Tomorrow belongs to me. The branch of the lindon is leafy and green. The rage has deserted the sea. But somewhere a glory awaits unseen. Tomorrow belongs to me.
Written off the loss against an anticipated sale of the Bluebirds to Abu Dhabi.
Good evening. The Australian Farnaklers were literally on top of the world last night following their epoch-making victory against the formidable East German Farnakling machine in a closely contested final at the People's Farnakling Centre in light drizzle and heavy security in Moscow. The ruthlessly professional East Germans began strongly and had the Australians reeling from a series of quite obvious and very brutal personal fouls. But just after the Liederkranz, it became obvious that the continually impressive Dave Sorensen had weathered the bone-crushing first wobble and was prepared to take the fixture right up to the East Germans after the umlaut. The turning point came in the third wobble when the oleaginous Sorensen arced from well behind his own goal line, despite being held by both opposing fullbacks and the small ice-flattening machine he'd inadvertently backed into during lapse in concentration. Unfortunately, only moments later, he struck an overhead light with a wet knee and short-circuited his trousers. It'll be tragic indeed if he can't be de-ionised in time to return home to what promises to be a hero's welcome in Sydney on Tuesday night. The victorious Australian Farnakling team returned home in triumph last night with the beveled orb safe in their keeping until the challenge round begins again in late July Australian time. Team members were fulsome in their praise of the running of the championships and are approaching the government to get an Arkling grommet of international standard built in Canberra so overseas teams can provide much-needed competition here during the northern summer. The heavily bandaged Dave Sorensen, who aggravated a thigh injury with a heavy fall from the aircraft while deplaning before the ramp was in position, reacted strongly to suggestions that corporate sponsorship is poised to take farnarkling into a commercial television. Proposals are already with the governing body to introduce a solid program of one-day farnarkling fixtures, underlights with edited highlights between the warbles, and a viewer competition tentatively called Classic Arkles. Major manufacturers have already come up with what they claim is the definitive farnarkling shoe, and t-shirts and initiatives in fast food are apparently already in the pipeline. The well-credentialed Sorensen said he would have nothing whatever to do with what he described as a ridiculous farnarkling circus, which he claimed would turn the game into some kind of joke. Although he did admit that he'd been a...
Gather round, gather on the grommet and gather on the ground. The atmosphere's electric. We're waiting for the sound to open the beginning of the first warble.
First you hackle to the right. Hackle with the mini friends, hackle all night. Hackle to the old lad, hackle off the wings. Hackle from the whipple whacker, even though it stings.
Together as a team now, hackle at the basket. Let me hear you talking, let me hear you ask it. Where is the gonad? Look for it, pass it. Set up an opening, he's put it in the box.
After the young lad, here we go. Hackling the gonad to and fro. Lift that flute and plunge to the pedal.
Oh, that's a classic hackle.
Good evening. A capacity crowd was treated to a display of champagne farnarkling in an exhibition fixture run in Perth on Friday to aid world famine relief. In an all-star engagement, the victorious Australian World Championship side lined up against a composite invitation team from other farnarkling countries. The national side quickly demonstrated its total mastery of the code and pulled out every type of arkle from all parts of the grommet and seemed to have the flukum on a string, particularly when moving forward in defence.
Oh. And the first obvious benefit will be improved services for the Australian public. The Australian public will have greatly improved banking services. They'll have wider choice in their banking. The standard of facilities and customer services is going to be higher than it's ever been before.
But could it mean that Australian money is actually taken out of the country and the economy is then at the mercy of people like yourselves who can move it around at will?
Oh, no! No! Not at all. No, that won't happen. That won't happen. Won't happen at all. Having so much money, Australian money, in the hands of foreign banks can only benefit the Australian economy.
And concern for the Australian economy is central to our desire to come in here and be whatever assistance we possibly can.
Could I ask you then this question? What genuine need is there for foreign banks when we've had a very wide range of Australian banks here for almost 100 years.
Well, yes. I'm bound to say that I agree with what's already been said about improvement in customer services. I think that's perfectly obvious. I think that's going to manifest itself relatively early. I think that if you're asking what's going to happen to the Australian domestic economy in a macroeconomic sense, then... And then I should imagine that that's perfectly obvious. Having the Swiss, the Germans, the Japanese, the Americans, and to some extent ourselves, in the Australian marketplace, greatly improved customer services, I should imagine. customer services improve out of sight.
But what do you say to the claim that you'll actually be in a position to put pressure on the economy and perhaps even the government?
Yes, good question. Very good question. Excellent question. I congratulate you on the question. I reject it utterly. I reject it absolutely.
Thanks, folks, for your interest. Overseas listeners will feel puzzled, perhaps, but if you can go to YouTube and search for The Gillies Republic 1986 Part 1 and 2. I'll spell The Gillies Republic. Gillies is spelled as G-I-L-L-I-E-S. And then you'll get a better understanding and you can actually laugh. This show from 1986 has so many parallels with today that you can't avoid the comparisons. More of that coming soon in other podcasts. For more Kaput Radio, you can go to radioforall.net, that is radio number 4all.net, and search for the Kaput X Radio series. You will get a page, and there are all my podcasts to choose from. I'm Martin, and you can bet on another show coming very soon.